We are in Divided Kingdom, the third class of this series. So we will do a little review again this morning to take off on where we are. Refresh your memory about the United Kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon, all occurring around the 1000 BC time frame. And each one of them reigning 40 years. And at the end of Solomon's reign, and the kingdom divides about 920 BC, and this divided kingdom period we're in now lasts for about 200 years, to 721 BC, when the Assyrians come in and take Israel off captive. And we'll talk about that very point in the lesson this morning. All this division occurs because of Solomon's unfaithfulness, led off by his wives and their idolatry. However, because of the prophecy in 2 Samuel 7, there is a remnant of David's house that's saved. So therefore, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, gets two tribes in Judah and Benjamin, and the 10 tribes, the bulk of the country, is pulled out, and God gives them to Jeroboam. He has 10 tribes, Israel, in the north. We talked about the first two lines on this slide. It's kind of the theme for the whole quarter. God says, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you don't, there will be consequences to pay. Curses, sins, punishment go together. In the north, in Israel, there were no good kings. None. They all left after Jeroboam took off and went the other direction. In the south, we do have a few good kings, and we'll touch on one of them today as we get just right toward the end of the class with that. So this is the same map we've looked at. See the division line occurs just north of Jerusalem. But across here, Jerusalem's the capital, where the temple was in Judah, and Shechem, the field between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, is the capital. On the north, of course, the caves were set up in Dan and Bethel. We talked about last class. So Jeroboam takes the 10 tribes away. But he does, Rehoboam wants to go back and get his territory back. So he gets ready to go to battle with Jeroboam to reunite the kingdom. But God sends Shemaiah the prophet to him and says, no, this is my doings. I did this. I divided it up because of Solomon's unfaithfulness, and therefore, go home. Don't go to war with Jeroboam. So this first time that the battle was coming up, it was averted because God spoke up and said, don't do this. We'll get into battle today where that doesn't happen. They actually go to war. Big thing is that God promised Jeroboam, if you will be faithful to me, same promise he made to David. If you'll be faithful to me, if you'll obey me, then I will bless you and I will set you up a dynasty, just like I promised to David. Which your descendants will reign on the throne forever if you will follow me. However, Jeroboam became fearful that the people would leave the north and go back to the south to worship in the temple. And he would lose control of them. So therefore, he set up the calves, the golden calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel, and said, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt. And, of course, when he changed the calves in, the idolatry worship in, he's got to change everything else. We talked about it extensively Wednesday night. So he changes up the priesthood, not just the priest, but tribes, Levite. Anybody can be priest. Since you said, if you bring an offering, you can be your own priest and make that sacrifice. The Day of Atonement, the Feast of Atonement, he changed. The 8th month, 15th day, and of course they're sacrificing to the calves and not to Jehovah. But you said, but we're still worshiping Jehovah. And that was the point we talked about quite extensively on Wednesday night with that. The Levites now in the north and other faithful people who didn't want to follow Jeroboam and his calf worship left the north, but back down to the south to Judah, to Rehoboam. Therefore, they were strengthened because of that, and they stayed faithful for at least three years. Before they started diverting off to the idolatry and served Jehovah there. But after a period of time, Rehoboam gets to feeling very secure in what he's doing. And so the idols start coming back in the south into Judah. We talked about the fact that that's nothing new because that's what Solomon had done. They're used to worshiping idols. Solomon was so filled with idolatry. So God sends in Shishak, the new Pharaoh from down in Egypt. He comes up and about to attack Jerusalem. God sends a prophet then to Rehoboam, and he is humbled by it. So God does not let them be destroyed, but they did have consequences to pay because of their unfaithfulness to him. Also, Shishak invaded the north, Israel. We don't have that in the Bible, but that is, we made that point there. This last phrase on this slide here, the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. We're going to hear that phrase all through the quarter. But everything we get is reckoned back to how bad Jeroboam was, his sins that he led the people away from. So that's kind of a quick undo through of where we are getting the divided kingdom part started off. So today, we're in 1 Kings 14 and 15 and 2 Chronicles 12 through 14 is the parallel to it. Remember, the kings of Judah are more covered in the Chronicles, the kings of Israel more covered in the kings. There is overlap, of course, both ways. So we're going to have a lot. We got two TV cameras set up. We're going to look at Judah and then switch off to Israel, and Israel switch off to Judah back and forth as we go through the whole quarter like that, really. So let's go and look at in the north. Talk about Jeroboam here a minute to start with. We'll just get some very confusing names this morning. And it's going to be a lot of this in the whole quarter, but this morning it starts hitting the Rehoboam. Jeroboam's almost bad enough, but now we're going to get worse than that. Jeroboam has a son, Abijah. This son, apparently he's young, becomes sick. So Jeroboam gets his wife to disguise herself where she can't be recognized and sends her to the prophet Ahijah. Now, Abijah's a son, Ahijah's the prophet. And it's the same Ahijah that had told Jeroboam that he's going to get the 10 tribes. Ahijah now, though, is old and his eyes are failing him because of his age. But Jehovah speaks to him before she gets there and said, the wife of Jeroboam is coming. And when she comes to you, you tell her thus and thus. God tells him, here's what I want you to tell her. So when she comes in, 1 Kings 14, verse 6, and turn there, we're going to read a few verses here in a minute. When she comes in, as soon as she crosses the threshold, her footsteps coming, he just speaks up to her and says, come in, the wife of Jeroboam. Why are you trying to look like somebody else? So you imagine you got yourself all disguised, and you walk in to the prophet and trying to not be recognized, and as soon as your footsteps or within his hearing distance, he speaks up and says, well, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you trying to look like somebody else? I mean, he's got her pegged right up front. So the message that he gives her is heavy, because he says in verse 6, I've been sent to you with some bad news. So I've got some bad news for you. So, Freddie, if you would read 1 Kings 14 and start with 7 and go through 13. So everybody look at this and pay attention to what Ahijah the prophet tells Jeroboam's wife to go back and tell Jeroboam the king. Now remember what God is promising. You'll obey me. You'll obey me. I set you up a dynasty. I'll be with you forever. But here's the message he's going to send back to Jeroboam. 7 through 13, Freddie, please. Wow. Ladies, I'd like to have that message care back to your husband. But look at what Ahijah has told her here. Taking the kingdom away from you. This son you got is the only one that's going to see the grave. The rest of them are going to be eaten by dogs and by the birds. I mean, it's just atrocious what she has to tell them here. But I go to verse 14. Let's talk about verse 14 a minute. It kind of sums it up. He said, okay, after all this happens, all this divine just finished read here. Moreover, the Lord raised up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. That's the first thing he says here in this verse. There's going to be a king come up here. God's going to raise him up. He's going to cut off the house of Jeroboam. And we're going to see it here in a few minutes that there's not a male of Jeroboam's house left alive. Now, what did God tell Jeroboam? Be faithful to me, obey me, and I'll set you up a dynasty forever. Jeroboam didn't do it. His choice, he didn't do it. Got fearful, put the calves in, and here's what it's led to. He said, I'm going to cut you off. The house of Jeroboam, this is the day. What? Even now. But this is going to happen soon. The house of Jeroboam will be cut off. Lord will strike. Here's the second prophet. Lord will strike Israel as a reed shaken in the water, waves back and forth. Uproot Israel from the good land of which he gave them their fathers and will scatter them beyond the river. What's that about? What's going to happen to them? What's the river? Anytime you see the river talked about, it's what? The river Euphrates, which is way back up to the north and east. It's a prophecy that God will root them up out of the land he's given them and scatter them across the river Euphrates. Eventually, we know from history who's going to come in and get them. The Assyrians, which are across the river. And they're scattered. They never come back together as a people again. So way back in the very first king here, in this divided kingdom, Jeroboam has done so bad that God says, that's going to be your destiny. I'm going to scatter you out across the river, Euphrates. And here's why. Because they made themselves wooden images, provoked the Lord to anger, he had given up Israel because of the sins of Jeroboam. He sinned and made Israel a sin. So their future is doomed already. They have been so bad. Cut him off. Remember this. God promised Jeroboam, as long as you'll be faithful. Now let's stop and think just a minute about this. The last line there says, he sinned who caused Israel to sin. Leadership carries a lot of responsibility. I don't care what you're leader of. If you're a leader of a nation, as Jeroboam was, or a leader of our nation, or if you are a leader in the church, or if you're a leader in your home, fathers, mothers, all of us have some type of leadership responsibility. And when we go wrong, what usually happens? It's not just me that's going wrong. Where do I take it with me? I take those who I am leading along with me. How many church issues have been caused by elders, preachers, who were wrong and led congregations away? I mean, homes have been ruined by fathers or mothers who led the family away from where they ought to be spiritually. Leadership roles, a lot of responsibility. And Jeroboam did not have it. Jeroboam set the calves up, people turned to idolatry, and because of that, God's going to wipe out the house of Jeroboam, and he's going to scatter the nation across the river Euphrates. Leadership carries responsibility with it. And all of us are leaders in some part, some way. We deviate from the narrative just a minute. This thought came to me as I was looking at this. What words do you use to describe God? What words come to mind when you think about God? Love? Mercy? Gentleness? Justice? Kindness. All those words come into this thing about when we start describing God. How do you describe God when it comes to relating to his relationship to sin? Yeah. He abhors it. There's two words used in this 1 Kings 14 about God and sin. We'll look at those just a minute. Look at down to verse 22. We'll get there in a minute. This is Rehoboam in the south. Kind of jumping ahead here. This is Judah when they sinned. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Their 3 years of being good are over now. We'll get to them just in a minute. They did evil in the sight of the Lord and provoked him to jealousy. So here's a word that describes God in relating to sin. It's jealousy. Go back to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are given. What does God say then about jealousy? I'm your Lord or what? I am a jealous God. What's he jealous of? Turn into idols, other gods, anything else you go serve besides me. That's not just to them then. Same thing with us today and whatever our idols are we have here. God is a jealous God. He wants us. He wants all of us. The other word that's used in this chapter to describe sin is anger. Anger. God gets angry at sin. God doesn't like it. Verse 9, Freddie read a while ago. You've done more evil than all those before you. God has made yourself other gods, molded images, provoked me to anger. What you've done has made me angry, God says. Second Chronicles, the parallel here says, my wrath has been stirred up. God gets angry when people sin. You're going to see some repercussion of that in a few minutes in the lesson this morning. God gets angry when we sin. God gets angry when I sin. It's not just those guys back then. It's now. You think God gets any less angry at sin today than he did then? Okay, off my soapbox. Back to the narrative. Rehoboam, let's go down the south now. Jeroboam and it's going to be wiped out. Wife goes back and tells the news about it. When she goes back to the city, when she steps into the city, sure enough, the child dies. Jeroboam's 41 who becomes king. He rules for 17 years. We're just getting into the first part of that. We'll go get to the end of his reign this morning. And look what he says about Rehoboam. This is the one in the south now. This is Solomon's son. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And we'll talk about that. We'll get a little time for the end here in just a minute. His son, Abijah. Wait a minute. Abijah was Jeroboam's son, right? That's the one who got sick and died. So Abijah was Jeroboam's son. He got sick and died. Ahijah's the prophet. And now Jeroboam's got a son. He's also named Abijah. So in one place it called him Abijam. Abijam or Abijah. So you got all kind of names to get mixed up here. So Rehoboam dies and Abijah or Abijam, his son, takes his place on the throne. And he's going to reign for 3 years. We got 17 years with Rehoboam. Now we got 3 years with his son Abijah. And he starts in the 18th year of Jeroboam. So Jeroboam is still going to the north when Abijah takes over in the south. Abijah's got about 400,000 men of war. Jeroboam in the north has got 800,000 men of war. And the text called these mighty men of valor. These are soldiers. These are men to go out and do battle. First time that Rehoboam wanted to go back and capture the kingdom, God didn't let him. But this time, they're going to war against each other. So Rehoboam is up, set up to do battle against Jeroboam. Not Rehoboam. Rehoboam's son, Abijah, is set up to do battle against Jeroboam. 400,000 against 800,000. Abijah gives this little speech in 2 Chronicles 13. Jeff read chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. It kind of gets the guts part of this speech. 2 Chronicles 13, 9 through 11, if you would, please. All right, that's a charge that Abijah is making to Jeroboam. Now, was everything good in the south? No, it wasn't. There was idolatry set up. But the north is so much worse. We've already talked about the worship there. And that's exactly what Abijah recounts back to Jeroboam. He says, you set up your own priest. Somebody brings a sacrifice. He ain't got to find a priest. He just becomes his own priest and offer those sacrifices. But for us, and notice he didn't say we got Levites offering our sacrifices. Who did he say? The family of Aaron. Or even, he goes out very specific as to who's handling the thing. Levites do their duties, but the family of Aaron is doing what they're supposed to do. Very specific there. And they set the showbread out, and the lampstands are lit all the time. He's drawing a contrast between them. So the north has gone off so deep into sin, that God's going to let the battle happen this time. That's 400,000, I think it's 800,000. The battle's going to happen. Well, that's what we just read there. Sorry. All right. Jeroboam sends half his troops around and sets an ambush up. He's got twice as many men. So he sends half of them around behind Rehoboam. Or Abijam, excuse me. Out of the south. So 800,000 versus 400,000. Around to an ambush. God steps in, and 500,000 choice warriors of Israel die that day. 500,000. That's a 500,000 bodies laid out on the ground. America lost 36,000 men in Korea. 36,000. America lost 58,000 in Vietnam. I tried finding something to match back to this, how I could relate to it. America lost 410,000 men in World War II. That's America. That's not the total. All the men we lost in World War II does not match what fell this one day in this battle. God struck Israel for their sin. 500,000 warriors killed. Why? Why? Number one word is unfaithfulness. They turned their back on God. That's exactly the words that was read here a minute ago. You have forsaken God and turned your back on Him. I think Freddie had that part earlier. Forsaken God. Would God actually kill 500,000 of His own people? These are the Israelites. These are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the ones that Moses pulled out of Egypt. These are the ones that went through the wandering in the wilderness. These are God's chosen nation. Why would He kill 500,000 of His own people? Here's a thought that hit me. I was looking at this. You ever heard anybody say, maybe this is off base a little bit, this thought come to me. You ever heard anybody say, God wouldn't send anybody to hell? God's not that kind of God. This is a God that would wipe out 500,000 of His own chosen people in one day, in one battle. We think God thinks of sin. Do we get the picture? Do we get the picture? God hates it. He's angry with it. And He's going to bring justice because of it. Sure. So, that's it. The one word he brought the whole thing about was unfaithfulness. They were unfaithful to God. We taught already, God gave Jeroboam a choice. Obey me and what? Your dynasty will last forever. But immediately, Jeroboam became scared, set the golden calves up, and from there it went downhill. And he led the people away, and the people sinned because of it. God made the offer to him. Obey me, faithfulness. And I'll bless you. That's been our whole little thing we talked about. Obedience brings blessings. Sin brings curses and punishment. And it did today. Okay. Back to the narrative a little bit. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 18. The children of Israel subdued at that time. The children of Judah prevailed because, this is about the other side of it. Why did the children of Judah prevail this day and the children of Israel get wiped out? The children of Judah prevailed because they relied on God. That's it. So Elijah comes in and takes some of the cities away from them along the southern border, Bethel, and some of the cities along the southern part down there after this big battle. Now we get to introduce the third king in Judah. We got Rehoboam, his son Abijah, or Abijam, 17 years, 3 years. And now Asa comes in. Asa reigns for 41 years. Long reign. And he's going to be a good king. The first two have not been. Idolatry's still there. Asa's going to be entirely different. His grandmother was the granddaughter of Absalom. Side point there. And she had her own little idol. Even though Asa's coming in and cleaning things up, finds out that she's got an idol of her own. And so he takes her away from her position of being called the queen mother, if you will. Takes her out of that position because she's following idolatry. And if she's following idolatry, like that leadership thing, it's going to pull other people away. So he takes her out of her position because of that. And the land has rest now. But Asa comes in and makes things good. And when things are good, God blesses them. There's no wars. Things are peaceful. An army of 580,000 men. Chapter 14 here, a couple of verses here. He did what's good. He commanded Israel to seek the Lord, to observe the law and the commandments. Now, what's leadership doing in the north? Led the people away. What's Asa trying to do now in the south? Commanded the people. Commanded the people, notice that word. Seek God, follow God, follow His commandments. The leadership's coming in now in a different way with Asa. Okay, took out the high places, took out the altars. There were some altars left, but Asa does everything he can to turn things away. And back to our little theme point, obedience brings blessings. That's exactly what Asa got here. All right, so in the south, we got Rehoboam 17 years, we got Abijah 3 years, and now Asa is going to come in for 41 years. So that's kind of got things set in the south. The general's first two, Jeroboam is going 22 years in the north. So he's going to reign down past Rehoboam, past Abijah, and he's still reigning when Asa comes in. But now, after 22 years, Jeroboam dies. And Nadab, his son, comes in to reign next. Well, we thought, wait a minute, it's not going to be a dynasty of called him. Well, it's not. Just hang on. It's just one king here. Nadab comes in. He reigns for 2 years. He, like his father, was evil. Baasha, one of the commanders in the army, comes up and kills Nadab. And not only does he kill Nadab, the son, he wipes out every descendant of Jeroboam. The entire family is wiped out in violent action. Because what's going to happen to all the people, the descendants of Jeroboam? The only one who's going to come to the grave was the son that died for the prophecy. All the rest of them eat with the dog, eat with the birds. Violent end to the whole house of Jeroboam, just like God said it would be. They'd be cut off because of their evil, because of the consequences. And so Baasha's the one who does that. So now we got a new dynasty starting in the north. Jeroboam lasted two. But this is going to happen all through here. Jeroboam had Jeroboam and Nadab. Draw a line. New family going to come in. Baasha's coming in next. And you don't know how many times we'll draw lines here to start new dynasties, if you will, in the north. But they just not be consistent because they won't do what God tells them to. That's it. In verse 38, 1 Kings 15 there, all this happened, again, because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he has sinned, and which he made Israel to sin. We're going to see that phrase, like I said, used over and over and over. Jeroboam set the path, and Israel never recovered from it. Now, Baasha is king in the north now. He's wiped out the house of Jeroboam. So he comes up and says, okay, I'm going to kind of take over the south too. So he sets a siege up, if you will, and he blocks people coming down the main highways coming into the south, into Judah, and sets this siege up there against them. This is Baasha, king of the north. He's blocking the people coming into the south. So Asa now is the king of the south, and he's got to figure out what to do about this. So he takes tremendous gifts. He takes gold and silver out of the temple, and he makes this big gift and sends messengers up to Ben-Hadad, who's the king of Syria. Now, if you think about your map up there, if you've got Israel on the north and Judah on the south, Syria's off up here. Okay? Across the Jordan River, north Syria, south Syria, Syria's off up here. And so, Asa sends gifts up to them and says, turn your back on Baasha, be loyal to me, here's my big gift to get you to do that. So he divides his allegiance, if you will. So sure enough, he sends his messengers and takes and turns his attention toward Baasha, fights with him, and Baasha turns his way back from Judah. So essentially, Asa takes and buys off Baasha by getting Ben-Hadad to come attack him. Here's kind of where we are, the kings. In the south, we've had Rehoboam 17 years. Evil. Now, there's some good. The first 3 years were good, but overall evil. His sons Abijah, or Abijam, 3 years, again, did some good. You heard a little speech that Jeffrey a while ago he made to Israel, but overall evil. Asa's reigned 41 years, and Asa overall is a good king. The first of the good kings we've seen in Judah. Now, over in Israel, on the other side, same time, Jeroboam's gone for 22 years. Nadab, his son, for 2 years. We're all out just raining up there. That's where we are with the kings. All right. Confusing names. Abijah was the son of Jeroboam who died. Abijah or Abijam was the Rehoboam's son, the second king. And Ahijah was the priest we talked about, the prophet we talked about earlier. So yeah, we got a lot of confusing names going on here. All right. Before I get this slide here, I got something I left out. Thing to talk about here. A lot of narrative stuff going on here, battles back and forth, and kind of what's happening in the north, what's happening in the south. One more slide, then we'll talk about it just a minute, if you will. We looked at this earlier, 2 Chronicles 12, talking about Rehoboam. He said he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You don't get your heart right to start with. What's going to happen? Of course, the verse we always turn to get a comparative on this thing here is Daniel. What did Daniel do up front? He purposed in his heart. He planned in his heart what he was going to do. Right the opposite of what Rehoboam. Rehoboam did not prepare his heart. He turned away from God. Daniel purposed, I will do what God wants me to. You got the contrast by getting your heart right to start with. Matthew 12:34. How can you be able to speak good things for out of the abundance of the what? The abundance of heart to mouth speaks. Where does everything we do start? The bottom line. It all starts with getting what? Get a heart right. Okay. If heart's not right, evil's going to come out. Rehoboam. Heart is right. We'll speak good things. We'll do good things. Daniel, example. Others we can pick on. So it all starts with getting our heart right. Okay. I did nice today. I left you 5 minutes. I got some thoughts, Mike? Yep. Yeah, yeah. Mike's point is that if his son Jeroboam was young, as I think he was, from what I can read, there's no inherited sins. He didn't inherit the sins of Jeroboam, his father being wicked. He would be blessed because of it. That. And like one of the best ones, I've kind of latched on lately to that very point is when back to David and the child was born to him and Bathsheba. That baby died. The child born to David, to David and Bathsheba, God told him that the child's going to die. Remember, David sat there for 7 days praying, hoping God would change his mind and the baby would live. But when the baby died, remember what David said? He can't come back to me, but what? I can go to him. Now, where's that child going? He's got the inherited sins. Where's he going, Mike? He's got the inherited sins. He's going to hell. David says, I can go to him. David's going to perfectly go to hell. You're going to see him. Don't hold water to me. David knew where a child was going. David knew exactly where a child was going. And David's intent was to go there too. That's the one that comes to be real strong on this very point here. Okay. Next time, I didn't look what we got. Lesson 4. 1 Kings 15, one chapter, and then 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16. So we'll get into those Wednesday night. Thank you very much.